everybody, and welcome to the Best of Radio Go Series 1, Part 1. That's right, this is a best of compilation compiling the 10 best moments, in the opinion of me, of my show. That's right, I'm Riley Routh, I'm your host of Radio Go, but this is not a normal episode of Radio Go. That's right, we're not in the canon right now. We're acknowledging the falsity of the whole thing. We're stepping beyond the fourth wall. Thrilled to join you on this side of the fourth wall for the first time on the Radio Go feed. If you've already listened to Radio Go Series 1, thanks so much for doing it. Maybe you'll enjoy this compilation as well. If you've never listened to an episode of Radio Go at all, this is a great place to start. I can't imagine anywhere better. But our show, while mostly very simple, does require a little bit of explanation for the concept. It's very easy. It's a radio show. I'm the DJ, my friend Tom plays producer Tom, and then we have a guest or a couple of guests on every week, and we interview them. We don't know who they're going to be playing. I get their name and their job immediately before we start the recording, and then we just go into it. Sometimes I've got something prepared, maybe they've made notes or something, but very often they have absolutely no idea what it is they're going to say, I have no idea what it is they're going to say, and I annoy them with questions, and usually somebody dies at the end. It's a great show. We did 20 episodes this year. We started recording, I believe, in June or July of 2025, finished recording back in December that same year. And then the episodes have been released all the way up from September 25 all the way up to June 2026, where we find ourselves now in the best ofs. We're taking a little break over the summer, and then we'll be back with Series 2, but hopefully this little compilation will be enough to tide you over in the meantime. I'm going to be here introducing the clips, but I'm also going to let you know if there's any interesting behind-the-scenes information that I can tell you about each of these clips. As I said, they are the best of the show so far, in my opinion. The stuff that makes me laugh, and the stuff that hopefully will make you laugh too. And what better place to start than with episode one, the premiere episode. This is an episode called Bat Boxes. It features Ash Routh playing Frank Abernathy, a vampire. The clip we're going to hear is from a little later in the episode, where Frank Abernathy is detailing his origin story for me. Enjoy.
I'm curious how you became a vampire in the first place. Ooh. What your origin story, if you like, and if it could be as long as possible, that would be fantastic.
Of course. Well, it was quite straightforward, really. I was a strapping young lad, and I got a job at a business it made leaflets for other businesses to advertise their business.
Okay, this was in the 50s, maybe.
Oh yeah, 60s? Yeah, the late 50s, and
turbulent time for culture.
Yes, but financially brilliant.
big time for leaflets.
Absolutely, it's the leaflet boom of the late 50s. Everyone was just opening businesses left, right, and centre. I knew a man with 16 jobs. They all paid him halfpenny an hour, which was enough for him to buy 16 houses a year.
That's 8 pennies an hour.
I know. It's a lot. Yes, and I got a home of my own, obviously. Settled down, yes. Made myself a lair.
Uh-huh.
And
wait, so this was a lair before you became a vampire?
Yes, yes. That's what I was doing at the time. It's a sort of interior decorating, is what was in fashion.
So, okay, I guess I assumed that as a vampire you would have a vampire's lair. But before you ever had any aspirations or any idea that you might ever become a vampire, you had a lair of your own.
Well, you know, there were certain expectations in the time that a man would settle down and take a wife and have a family and children. And for people who deviated from that, there were it's a social taboo.
Right, of course.
You know.
Undesirables.
Well, yeah, it's something of that. And so what was expected of the time is that if you were the sort of person who would rather not take a wife and have children and maybe prefer the touch of another man, that you'd get yourself a lair.
I see. I so So what you're saying is that the people of another persuasion, perhaps.
Yes, exactly.
They were all...
They would flock to my lair, yes. we were open from 10 p.m. until 4 a.m.
Okay. It does sound a little like you were asking to become a vampire, I'll be honest with you. With opening times like that.
I was just trying to run a perfectly honest nightclub.
I see. Yeah, and what was the name of this nightclub?
The Lair. Was I not clear?
All right. Well, listen, Frank, this has been very interesting.
I fell in love with a man.
I'm sorry, we are running out of time here on the
It's called Flonk. Okay.
All right, we are running out of time, but I do... Sorry, what was that? What did you say? Did you say Flonk?
Yes, it's a perfectly respectable name in the time for a man of the wool.
I don't think it was. I've never heard of a Flonk.
That's because they were wiping us out. Being a vampire was the only way to survive. Police would kick the door open.
Without an invite.
Without an invite, precisely.
Oh my goodness.
Ah, Frank Abernathy, what a laugh. That was from episode one, our premiere episode. I just knew for a fact that Ash was going to not only get the concept of the show, but was going to be able to just spout the inane bullshit that a character on the show requires with little to no provocation, making her the perfect premiere guest. I was pretty happy with how that first episode went. Certainly there's, you know, things I would change now, but I think we got the core concept down pretty quickly. In the previous clip, when I was just introducing the concept of the show, I did have to add that in there, because when this episode one first went out, some colleagues of mine very kindly listened to it, and one of them thought that I had gotten somebody on who actually thought they were a vampire. Some kind of delusional goth, basically. They didn't quite appreciate the fact that these are not these are characters. I have to assume that they caught on at some point, but hey, who knows? So what I've learned from that experience is to always be explicit about what you're doing. Obscurity and esoteric humor is not a good thing. So you're only going to hear the most mainstream possible clips from here on out. No, not really. This next one, by the way, we're jumping around in terms of time and space. We're not doing these in any particular order. Just whatever I felt like doing. This next one is from episode 14. It's called Door Free Floor, and it features Jack Laird as Felix Grimes. This is a clip. Sometimes this happens on the show. We start out as an interview, but we eventually devolve into much more casual conversation, and I forget that I'm supposed to be asking someone questions because I'm just enjoying whatever bit that we're on. As I recall, just before this clip, I'd been challenged to a door-building competition by our guest, and I was hoping that Tom would throw the competition for me. Enjoy.
Yeah, when I am sleeping here, yeah. I click the safe lock, mm-hmm. and it sends me to sleep. I try to do it, but with the spare time I have, I try to unlock the safe. I have tried every combination; it just won't.
Is it one of those ones that you have to do like clockwise and anti-clockwise? Have you just been doing clockwise on it?
I've just been going around.
You've been doing the triple clockwise.
All you're actually doing there is counting. Yeah. you could substitute that with sheep. It's just the classic.
I don't think we could fit that many sheep in here.
It's just the classic counting sheep. I'm not suggesting you actually bring in sheep in.
I don't know what you're not suggesting again. In that case.
Just count. It's just a classic counting sheep.
How many sheep do you think you could fit in this studio?
Whole?
Yeah, sheep.
It's fun because it's like one of those sort of how many sweeties in the jar thing, because I actually know this answer.
Do you?
Yeah.
Oh, just in the same way that you know from looking at any jar how many sweets are in it, right? You don't have that power?
No, because when we did that, I actually counted the sweets as I was putting them in.
What do we win if we get the sheep? Question.
Oh, yeah. Let's do it this way.
Nothing.
What's the point?
What if whichever of us gets closest to the correct answer about the sheep, they get to go first or second in the door fixing competition that we've got to have after this?
Why are you winking at me, Riley? What's going on?
I'm just saying, anyone who goes closest to the number of sheep that only Tom knows gets to go first after that.
Hmm.
How about that? It seems like a fair wager, right, Felix?
Yeah, all right. Yeah,
that sounds good. So,
okay, I'm going to say 61.
Okay.
Is that it? See, I think it's way more than that.
Oh, why? Yeah.
Look at the size of this, and also you haven't specified the size of the sheep. And the picture of what I've got is quite a small sheep, so you could fit way more in. So, but I think it's way more. But I'm going to go for 62, aren't I? Got you.
Price
there,
is Right rules. Damn,
you fool!
Shouldn't have guessed first.
The answer is
5. Is that it?
Yeah, because we only had 5 in.
Wow. We really overestimated Felix.
I feel like you've taken me for a ride here.
No. Listen, that's the adjudicator's final word.
You're saying that's just the amount of sheep that you have brought into this place.
Yeah.
That's, right. that's not the question you asked. He said, how many can you get in it? As in, like, if it were packed, top to bottom with sheep.
Well, that's not strictly what we said. You know, we said how many...
I'm pretty sure it was.
I hadn't really thought about it before.
I don't know, let's...
There's no way to know.
We could rewind the tape. So, how many sheep do you think we could fit in this studio, top to bottom, if we packed the entire place? Oh, shit, you're right.
Oh.
That's unfortunate.
Well, in that case, it would be 75.
Oh! Damn it, Tom!
So you won.
Yeah, of course.
Yeah.
All right, fine. Felix Grimes, played by Jack Laird there. I really like Jack's performance in that episode. He's so natural and understated in his delivery, but he's so funny all the way through. That was an episode, as I said, we don't usually prepare anything. In that episode, we were actually in negative preparations because we had a concept that I won't share because we might do it again at some point, but it required 2 guests and we had cast 2 people and then one of them couldn't make it at the very last minute, which happens sometimes. You know, this podcast is just a thing we do for fun. It's hard to get too annoyed when people can't make it, but it meant we really had to think on our feet. I think I had actually never met Jack before we recorded that episode as well, which makes it even more miraculous that it turned out as well as it did. I think, you know, the chemistry is there. That's a really fun episode. Very fond of that one. Coming up next is a clip from episode 11 of series 1. All of these are series 1 because that's the only series that exists right now. This is an episode called Crunch Time, and the section you're going to hear is one of the behind the scenes, or quote unquote behind the scenes sections, where me and Tom are off the air chatting to one another, in which he explains to me the origin of Crunch Time. It's a little blue. A little more blue than the show would normally go. But it really makes me laugh. Enjoy it.
Had a complaint put in by the Kellogg's Corporation. They don't want you bringing up Crunch Time.
Really?
Yeah.
Do they own the Crunchy Bar?
No.
I wouldn't have thought
so. It's got nothing to do with the Crunchy Bar.
No, nothing did. No. I don't know why it came up.
But it does have something to do with the invention of cornflakes.
Now, I've heard about this. I don't think it's true. What's the... go ahead and outline the...
So, the invention of corn...
The claim.
The invention of cornflakes is that they were used as bedding, sort of, instead of feathers.
Yeah.
They were used in bedding.
Yeah.
So that they would make a lot of noise. So yeah. The monks in the monastery, if they were to get busy...
If they were to move with vigour.
Yes. If they were to... sort of...
engage in activities.
Yes. Debate masterfully.
If they were to... jerk off.
Oh, you know what I'm talking about.
I think we're on the same page here, yeah, so Tom McGrath.
They
And it would get all crunchy.
It would make a noise. It would make a crunch.
Right.
And then it would alert the other. This
can't be true.
Well, this is what they did. So that they realised they couldn't stop the monks from, you know, performing the five-knuckled shuffle.
That's the worst one yet. That's horrible.
It is the worst.
What's being shuffled exactly?
A fist has been shuffled.
Shuffle implies randomization. If anything, it's a five-knuckle oscillation.
So, yeah, no, Kelg's written in.
Right, yeah, there was a complaint. What was the problem?
So because they're bringing up crunch time, which was known throughout the monasteries, because they couldn't curb the epidemic of monks.
And they started calling it crunch time?
Started calling it crunch time.
Okay.
Basically, every week there was an hour in which they could crunch the cornflakes.
Yeah.
If you know what I mean.
I know what you mean, Dom.
Yeah.
I understand what you're talking about.
So...
Hold on, but here's my question.
Yeah.
Why is this my problem? Why are they complaining to me for using the phrase?
Because no one's brought it up on radio before. No one's mentioned crunch time. No, obviously people use the phrase crunch time all the time.
Yeah.
No one's questioned where it came from.
Oh.
They don't want people to look into it.
Okay, so what you're telling me is I've got to stop questioning the phrases that I use.
Well, yeah.
And stop trying to point towards their etymology. Okay, I'll go with it.
You just got to throw the baby out with the bathwater.
Don't. Where did...
We're back in 5, 6, 7, 8.
Hold on, this isn't right. Hold on. Are you going up?
7.
No, yeah.
6.
Okay, I think we're good.
5.
Okay.
4.
Phew.
5.
Oh.
4.
Oh, boy.
3. 2.
Welcome back to Radio Go! That was Tokyo Night by Wolfmon. Hope you enjoyed that one. And if you detect a little levity in my voice, then it's just because I was having a lovely highbrow conversation with producer Tom over the break there. We were talking about...
literature.
Literature and our favourite literatures. Crunch time with Tom McGrath. Our guest for that episode, by the way, you will have heard her laughing in the background, was India McGrath playing Quentin, the pilot. We didn't get to hear from Quentin in that particular clip, but that's just because I wanted to play a little bit of me and Tom doing our thing. It took some time, I think, for me and Tom to figure out what exactly the dynamic was going to be for the show, but I think we've landed in a pretty nice place with his frustration at my antics and having to explain increasingly elaborate propositions to me. That's the sort of thing we're going to try and do more of in the next series. Coming up next, moving on from episode 11, we go straight into episode 12. This is an episode called The Studio Fire, and it features Tom McGrath once again, but this time as our very special guest, Billy McNuggets, rather than as himself or as producer Tom, whatever you want to say. This was another kind of wanting to break a little bit from tradition rather than bringing in a different person. Tom fancied a go at a character. He had, I believe, played this character, Billy McNuggets, once before, perhaps in a different improv scene, and wanted to bring him back. So he told me he was running for president, and we went on from there. You are, I'm told, a presidential candidate.
Well, for the last 2 weeks, yes. I have been a presidential candidate now for the last 2 weeks.
Okay, so not your campaign's still early on. Where are you from? I think I detect a hint of the American continent.
I'm from America. Yeah.
Whereabouts? Where did you launch your campaign in your home state?
Oh yeah, definitely. Yeah, it'll be from Arkansas.
Arkansas. No, I can hear now, actually, the Arkansas accent. Now, remind me, Billy, exactly where is Arkansas in the U.S.?
It's somewhere around the middle.
Somewhere? It's one of...
Middle East.
The Middle East.
The Middle East of America.
Okay. I've heard that. I've heard that. What some of the... some people call those the flyover states, you know?
We get a lot of people flying over.
I'm sure, but I guess that's a little pejorative. You know, they're kind of saying that there's nothing worth seeing there, so you just have to fly over them. I think is the intent.
Oh,
but you wouldn't agree with that. I guess
I wouldn't agree with that at all. No, right. There's plenty of things to see in my town. Yeah.
Okay. Great. Fantastic. And I mean,
there's the water fountain.
The water fountain.
There's the steps
leading to the water fountain.
No, leading to City Hall.
Oh, the big City Hall.
I want to be there one day.
Well, I mean,
mayor's chair.
Okay, Billy. So, but you're running for president, so presumably you have your sights set on a slightly larger chair. If you don't, you know, if you pick up what I'm putting down.
Well, tomorrow, class president. Next week, who knows?
Oh, you're not running for president of everything. Of America.
Why would I?
Well,
we're not even halfway through the midterms.
I guess so. We might be at time of air.
I've been closely following the president and all he's doing, and I've got to say, he's not doing a good job.
You know what? Somebody had to be the first to say it, Billy, and I think
I have been the first to say it.
Yeah, that's true.
I was the first one.
Nobody's been criticizing that guy.
In my class, I stood up and said, our president's gonna be rubbish.
Okay, so the light in the room is not actually that good. I didn't quite realize. I thought you maybe were just a slightly shorter guy, but you are a child.
Yeah.
You're a minor. How old exactly are you?
I'm 16.
16, and you're running for president of your class.
Yep.
How many people are in your class?
About, there's Susie, there's...
We don't need to know all of their names.
Jonathan, there's... Yeah. About 12. On a good day.
What about on a bad day?
Nine, maybe.
So on a good day, there are more people. I mean, that seems low, honestly. Like, there's been a concern in
the
education.
The rains come, and no one can get to school.
And wash people away?
No.
This isn't an it
just
situation.
Just a flood.
A flood in Arkansas? Really?
Yeah.
That's awful. When did this
happen?
Have
you not read the news?
Well, not the local Arkansas news. No, I didn't know that. I didn't know that this was something.
Here, I brought a paper.
Oh wow! Thank you. This is the Arkansas Town Gazette. This is. Wow! Those are some brutal signs of natural devastation. God,
yep.
Is that a tornado?
That's a bad day.
Yeah,
what that is.
Yeah, no kidding. Wow. Well, you must be incredibly resilient down there.
Oh yeah, we're resilient. We do a lot. We do a lot in the fields.
In the fields?
Yeah, in the fields.
Like what?
Like, I play baseball sometimes.
Okay. I guess that's a kind of resilience. It's a kind of cultural resilience, you know?
Yeah.
Like refusing to hide yourself away.
I played baseball once, and there was 3 tornadoes out on the field.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh my God, how did you survive?
I got a home run is what I did.
Hey, well, did you
the
get...
The ball went flying over towards one tornado, just whoom. Straight over the boundary.
Tom McGrath playing Billy McNuggets, of course. The classic character, Billy McNuggets, who I'm sure will be around for many, many episodes to come. Now, it was a delight to have Tom as the guest and be able to pepper him with the same annoying questions that I pepper all of my guests, treating him like one of the family. We've just got one clip left, can you believe it, of the 5 that we're playing today. We'll be back in a couple of weeks for episode 2 of the best of, playing 5 more clips, bringing us up to the top 10. Feels a bit silly to do a top 10 out of 20 episodes, but you know what? It's my show, and I'll do what I want. This clip is from episode 9, which is called You Know Janine, and it features Sash playing the role of work experience kid Charmaine. This is one of my favourite characters. It's also the character who I think has gotten most annoyed at me in any episode, and that's basically what you're going to hear, is me trying to control Charmaine and getting no small amount of blowback from this 17-year-old kid. Enjoy!
Oh my god! God, you're proper getting on at me.
No,
what is on about? Honestly,
no.
Oh my God. I'm going home and I'm telling my dad about this. And he's going to come in here and he's going to absolutely wreck you up.
Well, okay. He's going to wreck me
up,
is he?
Yeah, he is. He's going to... You know what? He played baseball when he was my age.
Did he really?
Yeah, that's got nothing to do with the fact he's going to get you up, but he has also got 2 criminal convictions.
What? Do you mind telling us what your dad did?
No.
Well, but you're happy to mention that he has the convictions.
Look.
So they could be for like fraud or tax evasion. It doesn't necessarily mean he's tough.
You're so nosy. Oh my God. You're so fucking nosy. Christ on a bike.
No, I'm sorry.
Oh my God.
Okay, Charmaine, clean slate. All right, truce. Can we truce here?
Fine. God, I can't even believe I came in. I'm missing Janine's 16th birthday for this.
Okay, so you're probably 15 as well.
Why are you so obsessed about all this?
I'm not obsessed. I'm just guessing, you know? Okay, what's... Janine's a friend of yours from school, I'm guessing?
Yeah, she's my best mate. Look, I've got her on FaceTime right here.
Okay, Janine. Hi, Janine.
She's on mute. What's she doing? Oh, she's just in... Yeah, okay, yeah.
Could you unmute her? We'd like to have a word with her. It's her birthday. Janine, you're live on Radio Go. This is Riley, the host. Please, happy birthday, first of all.
Get out of my face.
Okay, all right. Let's put her back on mute.
Thanks, Janine. Thanks, babes.
Okay. Charmaine, I want to focus on you, because you're my subject for this first interview here. This is a really exciting day for the station. We've got a 6-hour telethon.
Yeah, it's pronounced telephone. God, you're fucking thick. I can't believe I'm wasting my time with this. God, old people don't fucking know anything, do they?
Charmaine, it's a telethon.
No, it's a telephone.
No.
Don't tell me how to say it. I'm not. You're having me on.
No, it's a portmanteau.
You think I'm thick? What? It's not a port... I'm not a portmanteau.
Yeah, that's a combination of 2 words. You know, portmanteau is itself a portmanteau, but that's neither here nor there. Telethon, I guess, is a combination of marathon and telephone, or marathon and television. In any case...
No one knows.
No one knows. Neither of those actually apply, because most people are getting in touch with us on Betamax. You know what Betamax is, Charmaine?
Is that like, there's those red pill people on the internet, aren't they? Like alpha something. I've seen them on Reddit, and one of them called me a slag.
Really?
And it was like, yeah.
That's not very nice.
I know.
Why? I should ask, what was the conversation that you had with these people online?
What led up to them calling you a slag? Well, I was tweeting about my car and my license, and he said, "Oh, girls can't drive that well." And I said, "Yeah, I can, because I don't have any points on my license."
Mm-hmm.
And then he said, "Well, you probably will soon." And I said... I hope you fucking die.
And that's when he called you a slag.
It was so unprovoked.
So unprovoked. Charmaine, look, do you have a surname, by the way, Charmaine? I mean, you must have a surname.
You never even look at it. You've got me CV right there.
Oh, yeah. I can't make this out, though. Your handwriting. By the way, thanks for handwriting your CV.
And glitter gel pen as well. You know what scented that is? You smell it.
Oh, sorry, did you say centered or scented? Because I can see it's in the middle of the page.
Centered.
Gotcha.
It's centered right. And it's centered.
Charmaine, thanks so much for being on the show. Can you stick around for a little bit? I mean, you have to, it's your
job. I really don't want to
Please,
be honest
just
with you.
Please, just for like another
look,
10,
can
15...
I just go and like go hang out with my friend Janine and no, like you look, can just say I was here and sign me off?
Charmaine, look,
and then I can
no,
just like
work
smoke.
Experience is not... You've got, I've got to say, a pretty sweet gig here at the radio station. When I did my work experience, I worked in like a leather workers like factory, and I had to move big tubs of fluid from one end of the warehouse to the other end of the warehouse. It was bullshit.
Is that why you look like that?
All right, look, we're going to have to move on. Charmaine, stick around, all right? We've got another... Thanks so much for listening. Now, look, we don't really get the opportunity to do this properly on the main show. It's one of the difficulties of having a kayfabe where we don't acknowledge that podcasts are a thing. But this is a podcast, and that means that we kind of rely on people listening, rating, reviewing, subscribing, leaving comments on Spotify if you're on there, or even just telling a friend, hey, this is a funny thing, check it out. We'd really appreciate that. Thank you so much for listening, and we'll see you in a couple of weeks for part 2.